Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we ask for your provision and protection. May you enable us to faithfully and well fulfill all that you have put before each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How wonderful that God gives each one of us the opportunity to be in His kingdom. And here is what I understand. God has already said yes to us. So next, it is for each of us to say yes to God. We do this by accepting the sacrifice which Jesus made for us upon the cross and repenting. God says, the penalty for sin is death, but Jesus paid our penalty. It is His free gift to us, but still we have to accept that gift. In doing this, it seems we recognize His perfect nature and His perfect love for us. In response, we want to love Him back and express our appreciation. And most often, this results in our worship and obedience to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And yes, we want to live life as He tells us to live it. We learn more about God, about Jesus, as we pray, and as our understanding about what the Bible tells us grows, our understanding grows. About God's kingdom, about the basic principles, which are simple, and if we want to learn the complex parts of those principles, we can learn those too. That's kind of like life. It starts out simple, and it gets to be as complex as we want to deal with. Probably, a person is more satisfied when they follow the human nature that they desire to be, the one that is natural for them. And yet, we tend to be complex because people tend to be complex and the world tends to be complex. And when a person is more complex, there are more areas that they can get into and adjust to be the way that they want them to be. Well, you could call it manipulate if you want. And in our modern world, there are plenty of complexities for us to interact with. There is much that we have to pay attention to. Like this month, taxes have to be paid. If you don't pay them on time, you have to pay the penalty. People who own property, they must pay their real estate taxes by April 10th. But most people are not aware of this because that tax payment is included in their mortgage payment. And the mortgage holder most often pays your real estate taxes to the county. And then there is income tax. That's one we are all aware of. Income tax due April 15th. That is kind of a cultural phenomena. In some cities, especially the big ones, the post office stays open until midnight for the people who just cannot quite get their income tax return completed on time by the time the post office would normally close. So these last-minute people can still get their tax return into the mail as long as it is done before midnight. That's the way it is for the big cities. Well, probably we all have that kind of experience in one way or another where we just wait until the last minute to get something done. That is just a part of human life and modern life. We all know that there's plenty of rules which we have to follow for the society to be an orderly society, Rules are necessary. And besides that, most people like the predictability that rules give to us, give to the society, give to the person in that society. And pretty much the rules are sensible. Oh, rules of all sorts. It starts out that people have to get a birth certificate. That's a rule. And when we're driving, we have a speed limit to follow. That's reasonable, isn't it? And then there is paying income tax. Seems like everybody has something to do with that. We either file or we pay. And income taxes help the government to provide services to its citizens. Most people agree with this concept. The concept of having a society with order and the money to maintain order. The government provides benefits to the people, and the people pay for those benefits through taxes and other things. We understand this, and most of us agree with the principle of government receiving taxes and providing benefits. Yet there are plenty of citizens who just can't quite agree with it. They might say that our taxes are too high, or that the taxes provide benefits for too many people, or the benefits that some people receive are too small. Lots of people have problems with the way the society and the government work. If there was one answer, I think we would already have figured it out. But no, there's just questions, more and more questions. For instance, the regulations that we are all subject to, are they just too stringent and difficult? Or are those regulations just plain not a good idea? Or maybe they are a good idea. We all have a different opinion, and we all get to figure it out through our democratic process that our republic gives us the opportunity to seek out. There's all sorts of ideas that we have to come to terms with. Oh, they can be just so simple, like daylight savings time. Is daylight savings time a good idea, or is it not a good idea? And should people be allowed to bring their pets into a restaurant or not? Well, lots of ideas. You know about the pets in restaurants? There would be one case if one person brought one pet that really sat in the chair and was well behaved, and it would be another thing if one person brought, let's say four people. If four people brought cats, and then four other people brought their dogs into the restaurant. See, that changes the situation. And the answers, well, we just get to figure them out. And our laws reflect that. And so does the freedom of the restaurant that you go to. They all have, regulations or rules or something, and it gets figured out. All sorts of questions get just figured out, and we agree with some and we don't agree with others. Oh, and for instance, there's always the question of, or there has been for a good while now, of vaccines. Are vaccines a good idea? Are they not a good idea? Which ones do we agree with? And which ones do we not agree with, require or not require? There is much controversy about vaccinations and whether vaccinations really are safe and effective. You just have to listen to people, look at what is said. Now, us older people, we have had it drummed into us that vaccines are safe and effective. that we just know is second nature because we've heard it so many times. But that is one side of vaccinations. And there is another side that talks about the dangerous complications of vaccinations. Now, they're the people who talk about where vaccinations come from, what tissue they are grown on or grown with. Are they using aborted fetal organ tissues or monkey organs? Yes, that's true. Just look it up. Now, different vaccinations have different growing material, but there are some basics, and that's what they talk about. Now, you will have to examine what these things are described as. They use complex words, which are ones that we just do not commonly use. And you have to look them up. But do look them up and see what it is they're talking about. Oh, it's a little bit complex, but if you look at the words they use, then you get to know what is the truth about the full story of vaccinations. Now, us people who are older, when we were young, like school age, we did accept, 5 or 10 vaccinations for school. And over time, that number has increased and increased and increased to where today, most of the children before school or during school are scheduled to receive 50 to 60 vaccinations. Now, they might be combined, but that's how many there are. That's a lot. That's a lot of substances to be putting into your blood. To go from 5 or 6, like 50 years ago, to like 50 or 60 for today's school children. or preschool, really, that it starts. Well, you can understand maybe that vaccinations could be a significant question or problem, and that they just might contribute to autism. Like, that's what some people say, and I think they have a point, but you know, we have a system where we're supposed to prove what it is we do and understand. But it's complex. And a lot of information is not listened to for one reason or another. It would be great if there were professional people who could, in an open forum, speak about their ideas and express their concerns, not just about autism, but about all sorts of topics relating to vaccinations. Well, you know this is a subject in these days and weeks and months because there are more people who are talking about getting vaccinations for one thing or another, to attend school or just to be in public. Now, New York just had a regulation struck down that said if a child was not vaccinated, they would not be allowed to go to a public event or a public square. Well, that was struck down. But it is important to know that there are people who are thinking along that line. And there are others who just say, well, you worry about your kid and I'll worry about mine. And then they say, if your vaccinations really are effective, your kid will be fine. Don't worry about my kid. Just get the vaccinations you want, and you and your children will be fine. Don't worry about me. Well, there are arguments and there are discussions, and different people have different ideas. And then we get more information, and the information changes over time. And then we have to change our understanding and what we actually do, what we support and do not support. Yes, and please remember that next step, which is after we have more information, then we change our behavior if it's appropriate. So yeah, please do. Look at both sides of the argument. All the arguments. Sometimes you can dismiss the arguments pretty quick, but sometimes they can merit a lot of examination. I was listening to a medical doctor give a lecture, and it was about the measles vaccination. And he said, if you get a measles vaccination, you are pretty much protected from measles for 5 to 8 years. But if you get the measles naturally, your body responds and your immunity will last your entire lifetime. Well, interesting. Interesting. But that's just one doctor, and there can be different doctors and different organizations that say one thing or another. That does not make it true, but it means there is something that somebody saw, and perhaps we should look into it a little further. Yep. With all these decisions, when they have such a big potential impact on our children, our future generations, I think it's a really good idea to give it some very close looking and listen to both sides of the argument. Let both sides fully express themselves. I think that about vaccinations, and I think that about fluoride in our water systems. Because to me, fluoride is still a great big question. I have read quite a few reports and examinations. I've read both the full reports and the summaries of them. Fluoride in the water is a big question, and it affects, I think it can be stated as a certainty now, that it affects the IQ of our children, especially when they are like 7 to 16. That if they have fluoridated water, their IQ loss is notable. Well, it's, for instance, 5 IQ points. And sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. That's what some researchers are finding. And by the way, the researchers some of them strongly state that a pregnant woman must absolutely not drink fluoridated water because it goes directly to the fetus that she's carrying. Well, look for yourself. There are studies here and there. There are all sorts of studies. The CDC has even done studies, and so have other governments, and so have medical institutions. There was one study that the CDC made in 1999, and it said that fluoride was good for teeth only if it was applied topically. Well, oh, and then you know dentists, they say very strongly to be sure not to swallow any of the fluoride that your teeth are being treated with. Well, there's studies and there are studies, and I've read some, I hope you have too. There was one done in China in the 1990s. Plus, done by other prestigious U.S. medical and research institutions. Those were in the last 12 years that they've been done in this country. And I have gotten to be very much opposed to fluoride in our drinking water because it lowers the IQ in our children. I've presented information to dentists, the ones that I know, and I have brought summaries to them from what I have gathered. I would hope that there would be a discussion, but pretty much there's not. They express satisfaction with following the recommendations of the American Dental Association, the ADA, and I don't blame them one bit. That is the standard protocol, and that is what is expected. But I do wish they would have read the 30 pages of material that I gave them just to show that there is another opinion. Well, that's how life goes. And in life, everybody's life is so packed full that we have a hard time to do much of anything else except what we need to do. That's just life. It seems that if you are really serious about learning, and if you're really serious about gathering more information or understanding, or if you're really serious about getting ahead in life and studying the subjects that you need to be qualified for certain positions, then you have to really work at it and take advantage of every little bit of time that you have. Be diligent about it and seek information, seek understanding, seek knowledge, knowledge and understanding. And that's not what a lot of people want to do these days. There's lots of reasons for not wanting to do it. One of the things is they just want to have fun in life. Just let's do something fun. Why do we want to study all the time? Well, everybody is a little different. And most people, well, if they look into it at all, they will just pick out their favorite parts. Isn't that just normal and natural? Yes, it is. It is. And yet we do recognize that it's reasonable to be reasonable. And that means we have to look at information and figure it out. Figure out what the things mean, what is characteristic of either good or bad situations and possibilities. Well, we certainly do this to one degree or another. Everybody does it. Every person does it. It's just that we have the things that we want to pay attention to and the things that we think are unnecessary. That's just human. And we are just all humans. But remember, try not to get offended, because it's not like it's an attack on us personally. We are just seeking to gain understanding, to gain knowledge. That's what we want to do, and then make a decision that's reasonable. Isn't that what you want to do? That's what I want to do. Well, you know the adage that goes to never discuss religion or politics in polite society? I think we know that, and we know that it is true, and yet we want to examine subjects. I know I do. I like to look at things. Sometimes I touch on some pretty delicate subjects. I suppose religion is one of them. Religion, well, about Christianity, it is said to be a relationship and not a religion. It is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So, it reflects our desire to want to spend time with our God in one way or another. We want to spend time with our God, speaking and listening and learning about our God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Yes, as we pray, and as we read the Bible, as we search out biblical meaning and seek that understanding. I think that's what we pretty much do. And we can read other books that talk about where the author talks about this or that, something regarding God, something regarding, well, all sorts of things. We choose the books that we have an interest in, and then we learn the subject. Isn't that just so much what we do? Yes, it is. We do that. So it can be a good thing to listen to other people's understanding. It helps us determine what we or do believe and do not believe in many, many areas of intellect or areas of, for instance, the Bible. Yeah, we do have to remember that as we read, oh, what would you call them, commentaries on the Bible, we have to remember that they are written by human beings, that a man or a woman has faults and they are reflected in what they see or don't see, in what they read and what they convey in their books or their speaking. Yeah, that's for me too, of course. You'll get to listen and decide. But it is said that the Bible is not like other books because it was written by the divine inspiration of God. And the proof of that is that it has been written over thousands of years, and the themes are the same. They are consistent from beginning to end. Now, you will have to read it with that in mind to see it, because the Bible is full of so many things. Stories, situations. But if you have in your mind, if you are ready to see how things are consistent and accurate, that's what you will see. And if you only want to see the problems, I think that's what you'll see too. But to me, I see consistent themes over the years, and those themes are reflected by the authors, like 35 or more different authors of the Bible. So when you have that many people over time who speak with a consistent theme, it does speak to its divine or its godly inspiration sources and its direction. So I think all you can do is look at it, you read it, and you come to your own conclusions, because that's what we do about all sorts of things. But to come to a conclusion, it surely does help to have information. We get information from, like I said, prayer and reading. And there are so many books, and religious writings of many people. Sometimes they are regarding the faith that you follow, and sometimes they are about completely different faiths or different topics. That's human. It's what people do. People do that. So, we strive to follow what is good, right, and perfect. And we do that in one way or another. That's why we look at the Bible, because the Bible is inspirationally written by people, and the source of that inspiration is God. So it becomes more correct than anything else. Now, there are books written by other people, and there are books that other religions are based on. And it becomes a religion, and a religion is a dogma, and a dogma has to do with written beliefs. We hope they better be written, but there seems to be plenty of legend or folklore that is also written for so many religions. Well, that's another study. But I think what I'm trying to say is, when you choose how to worship God, and before you get involved with a church, please read its statement of faith. Read its doctrine and its goals, because every religion and every church has these written. And I've read more than a few of them, and I have been surprised at what a church will say in their statement of faith and what they believe. It's so shocking, because just about wherever you go, the people are nice. The pastor is nice. They make an impression upon you, and you want to go back because they're nice people. But if you look at what their doctrine says, what their statement of faith says, well, you just might be surprised, because I know I was more than a few times. You read those statements of faith, it's surprising. Do that before you get involved with a church. There's so many churches that you can look up, and with a computer, with online things now, you can find out so much that you can research the churches and find out what they stand for. No doubt you will be surprised, because I know I was. You will go to a church and you'll find out how nice they are, and then you read their statements, and it just might be something you don't want to believe in. So just have that look. Please do look. And they can all really love God. That's not the point. It's that there are different ways to love God and serve people, but it still makes a difference what their written beliefs are. Read it. Study it out. That's what we're supposed to do. It says to study in the Bible. And to be not deceived. Oh, that's a big one. How many times does it say in our New Testament, be not deceived? Many, many times it says that. So you consider, is this God speaking to you when he says, be not deceived? Oh, yeah. Well, please do have a look. You do want to be in the right church. You certainly want to be following the right Jesus. Jesus is the judge. Jesus will judge you. Men are not supposed to, and I certainly won't, but I do remind you to look closely at all those questions that you would have before you followed a certain religion. Let the Bible be your guide. The Bible is God's written word. Look at it. Study it. Understand it and follow it. You don't want to follow the wrong Jesus. You don't want to follow the wrong God. These situations are serious. If you have that kind of an error, you are in trouble. I have certainly looked at lots of other religions in my lifetime. I've read their books, and I've found inconsistencies, contradictions, and just things that really don't make sense. Yeah, and I think it's okay to look at religions, look at what they speak about. I know I've for instance, I have looked at Islam, and I think if you are looking at that religion, if you're a woman, please read their Quran. For instance, read Surah 4, and you will find that a woman is half of what a man is. Huh? And if you're a man considering becoming Muslim, well, you read the Quran too, and see if it lives up to what you agree with. Read Surah 98:6. There is in the Quran Muhammad saying that Jews and Christians are the worst creatures, lower than dogs, and will abide in hell. Yeah, that. And then there's a Muslim scripture by Ibn Umar that was 73:35, and it says, O Muslim, here is a Jew, come and kill him. Yeah, there's other Quran verses that talk about the same thing. The first surah reflects that to Jews and Christians as cursed people. So, yeah, look at the holy books, look at the writings, and make sure that it speaks truth to you. Here I am, a Christian, and I believe in the whole Bible. And so don't you think that a Muslim, a faithful Muslim, certainly must believe in the whole Quran. Yeah, that just is sensible. And that would include what those verses say about Jews and Christians. Yep. The Quran teaches Muhammad was a perfect man, so his followers are to do what he did, like marry many wives, break peace treaties, lie to deceive the non-Muslims, or marry a child. How about kill Jews and Christians? And take over countries by any means. Well, that's what Muhammad did. That's right in the Quran. Read it yourself. But read the Bible first. That will give you some basis of religious teachings that are good for you. But yes, read other books, read other what are considered holy works. It's good. You know, there's lots of people who make lots of excuses for all sorts of things that they do or what their religion did. I know that there's a lot of people who say that the Crusades were just barbaric and that the Christians did wrong against Islam and that it was barbaric. Well, in a way, that's true. But please, look at what Islam did to Christians. Muslims were intent on conquering Europe, and Muslims destroyed over 100,000 Christian churches at that time. So, lots of conflicts in those Middle Ages. After one battle in Spain, Muslims beheaded the Spanish that were conquered, and they made a pile of heads so high that a man on a horse could not see over the pile. Yeah, atrocities, certainly. Bad things. That's what people have done in religion, and certainly all religions have done something. Hindu, Islam, Christians. Well, there is a certain element of Islam versus Christianity today. And it has been a historic battle. It's been a battle that has been spiritual, and obviously I just talked about the physical aspects of the battle. That is what happens just too many times, is the spiritual manifests itself in a physical reality. And we better pay attention to that. Because we are in a battle. We are at war. And we want to stand for Jesus. A point of interest is that the Bible was written, it was fully written, 60 years after the death of Christ. So, the time seems to make a difference in how historians interpret everything. And so, as a matter of interest from my historical perspective, I take note that everything that was known about Muhammad was written 200 to 300 years after his death. That's what we know about today, the Quranic scripture and other things, all written during that time frame. So there's the opportunity to be accurate the sooner something is written. That's just from my history perspective. So I look at things like that. What a difference there can be between religions, and in Christianity, we pay attention to that great commandment, which is to love God and love your neighbor. That's saying it abbreviated, but that is, in effect, the great commandment, to love God and love your neighbor. And to think about how we can do that. Yes, please do. How do we practice love? How do we get better at it? Well, I think a part of it is being wise as we go through life. Being wise and having a point of view of loving people. And love is a good thing. Remember that good to have goodness and blessings. Why, that's just what we do. So here in America, we do have lots of blessings. It's a wonderful place to live in America. There could have been other countries that we live in, and oh my, those countries have so many difficulties, so many things forced upon people, upon society, upon the government. It's just the world is a different place to live, and we can be thankful that we live here in America. Now, there's plenty of people who will point out that America has done wrong sometimes. America has been involved in wrongdoing, just plenty. But please look at the good that America has spread. It has spread lots of goodness, lots of goodwill, all across the world. America has sent out Bibles and supplies to countries and people in need, and if there have been relief supplies that were needed because of a natural disaster, America has been right there and sent out many supplies, many good things. Throughout all this, let us remember to be thankful for what we do have. Thank God for the blessings that we do have. There are many of them, many, many blessings. Now, there are people, even prophetic people in these days, that talk about America going through some very, very difficult times. And if you listen to prophetic voices, you can see it. If you read the Bible, there's several places where it is written that the conditions that we are witnessing in America will bring about some pretty serious times. You could even call it judgment. You ought to. So I always think about what to do, what is sensible, what we ought to be doing. Because here in America, we are blessed. We have so many, many good things. But if you look back in history, there have been many, many countries that were blessed and they did not thank God. And you know what happened? Is they got their blessings taken away. Some of those countries were invaded, and those invasions were tremendously bad. Where the richest, the valuables of the people, which primarily were the people, and sure, the gold and the silver, but the people were taken away. We surely would not like that if our good, strong people were taken away, if our children were taken away. And that's a part of the judgments that is spoken about that will happen if a country does not follow God, Jesus Christ. So be aware of that. Be aware that there are consequences of not following God. I can't tell you what they are really going to be. Certainly I cannot. But I can read the Bible, and I can find out that there have been plenty of situations where people, families, and nations have gone through some very, very difficult times. So that's a part of what I talk about too. I talk about what are some of the basics that we can get stocked up on. We have a wonderful supply system in America. Our supplies are, it seems like they're always available. But I've talked before about the things that are in shortage or that are are or can be in shortage, especially around the natural disasters that have happened in the central part of our nation. And I've used Nebraska as an example of what can happen, how the cows died and the crops were, well, the land was made unsuitable to plant the crops. And so we might be in for a year without a good crop of the food that we eat and our animals eat. Just a question. Oh boy, but we can look. And all I can say about all that is we might go through difficult times. And what do we do if we know we're going to go through difficult times? We get supplies. And to me, the biggest one of those is food. But what should we be concerned about? Water, food, and warmth, those are kind of the basics. And we certainly do not know how long any sort of a emergency or natural disaster could last. All we know is that we want to get ready. We want to be ready for any sort of a difficulty that might come along. And so we get supplies. We get the things that we think are important to have. Food, yes. Water, food, warmth. Those are the basics that I see. And we all do them different. And we all, if we do, or when we do, have a time of something like war or famine or disease, well, see, that's what's forecast before Jesus returns. It's right there in the Bible. Before Jesus returns, we will have wars, famine, and disease. So doesn't that just kind of make sense to you that we should get some supplies? Well, it sure does to me. Get some supplies. Bible, it says that when they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them. So do you hear talk about peace these days? Of course you do. And that we are becoming a more peaceful world? Yes. So just look at all of that and think about being a wise person, a wise follower of Jesus Christ. And I can't say that we want to have this preparedness thing as the central focus of our life. We don't. But we want to have it be something that we pay attention to. I know that dealing with people is always something that is on our mind because people are different and people, well, they're not all the same. Some are lovely and some are not so lovely. I remember once a man told me to trust everybody to act just as they would in their own best interest. So how will the person act? In a way that is good for them. Well, it's not that I want to make that a famous saying, but it does make you realize how some people will certainly be acting. And we can pay attention. That's the kind of the wisdom of the world that we can listen to. Not everybody will be a good, kind, sharing, loving Christian to other people. But we, Christians, can still act with love and remembering that probably the most important thing that we can share with people is about eternity and spending eternity with Jesus in heaven. That's what we want. We don't want to go to that other bad place. Ha! Nope, let's not go to hell. Let's go to heaven. I think of Matthew 24, verse 37, that as the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the days of the coming. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, which is Jesus. And I wonder what is going to come about. I wonder about the plagues that were in Noah's time that hit Egypt. I wonder if we're going to have those replayed in our time. You know, the 10 plagues. There was the water turning to blood. There were frogs in abundance, lice in abundance, flies in abundance, and disease in the livestock. Boils on people, hail and flies, no, hail and fire, locusts, darkness, and the death of the first one. Will that theme be repeated? It might be. And if it is, we certainly want to be prepared. We want to be prepared for sharing compassion with people, compassion with those who do not believe. And there's plenty of people who have talked about just the sorrow that's coming upon our nation, upon our land. That there will be sorrow and great needs, that there will be fiery things from the heavens, there will be pestilence and destruction of our cattle, that there will be famine, and there will be among the rulers, there will be all sorts of disagreements. People will face earthquakes and have to look at survival. What about the hail and the snow that is increasing? Or the beasts that we are encountering, wild beasts, pestilence and hunger, the sword, which is war and distress. There's lots of things that are indicated by Scripture. The thunder, the voices, destroying earthquakes, all these things have been forecast. And we want to get survive them and be able to share the love of God as the world experiences these things. We will still have hope. And still, we don't know exactly what's coming. All these things have been talked about. Certainly, even if we do know they're coming, we don't know when they're coming. But we hope they're going to happen to other people and not us. I don't know. We have different ways of interpreting what we read. And I think the best we can do is to read. Actually read the Bible, read the Scripture, and see what it is that applies to us. Prayerfully, of course. So, whether we will be here on earth or not, when those things happen, you know, there's a lot of different opinions. And because they are opinions, and it's not just clear as can be, I think we should look at both possibilities. Yeah. And as we go through the experience of life, we will want to be sharing and showing love. Certainly, that's a part of who we are, both with human compassion, but especially with Jesus in our hearts. We share that. This kind of sharing and giving is a form of love, and that's a part of what we do as Christians. We share and show love. And it won't always be easy. That's a part of life. Things are not always easy, but we do share that. And you might think that I talked a little bit harshly about the religion of Islam. Maybe it is harsh, but people examine everybody all the time, and they try to figure out what makes truth and what makes sense. And I think we can do that too. Look at your Christian church, the ones around, and see if they have truth or error according to the Bible and according to what is written. We just do that. It's human. We don't want to follow a lie. We want to follow the truth. And every religion has things that are written about it. Some things are true, and some things get exaggerated. And we ought to look, just look. Look at what the church is about and look at whether they follow their doctrine or not. there's lots of qualities all throughout things that are written, qualities that are good, qualities that are bad. And you know, it's really our own personal choice to search out the truth and pay attention to it. Are we going to talk about things gently because we want to preserve a relationship with somebody? Yeah, sometimes it's true. Talk gentle. And sometimes we want to talk powerfully so that someone understands. Pray to God and ask for guidance. That's what I see. And ask those questions. Seek the truth. Search out what you can understand and what you can do. You do want to believe the truth, yes? Yes, believe the truth and not a lie. We want to follow the truth and not a lie. And that's what so much of life is. We look for the truth. We look for, well, when we read, we find out that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the good news. Jesus is written about in the Bible, and the Bible, the gospel, is good news. There are so many Christ followers who want to share Jesus. And often enough, they want to share the church that they attend because they find a loving compassion there. So that's good too. But remember to look at what those basics are for following Christ and the written word. It's good to have a fellowship among Christ followers so that we can worship together. So yes, learn more about Jesus, about God. Love God and love your neighbor. Rejoice that we have Jesus and that he has us. And as always, remember that you can listen to Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces. I also give away my preparedness pamphlet. If you write to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So, please send a self-addressed stamped envelope with that, if that's what you want. Until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.